while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Today's sermon is the third in our motto verse series for 2024. Every year we have the motto verse, we touch on it at the beginning of the year, and typically we more or less abandon the motto verse for the rest of the year. And this year I felt strongly that we should revisit it again and again. And so I came up with the idea of breaking that motto verse into a number of sermons. In a moment, I'm going to do a countdown. I'm going to say 3, 2, 1. And if you are able to remember the motto verse, I'd like you to say it out loud. Are you ready? What's our motto verse? 3, 2, 1. You passed the test. Last time I said, how many people can remember the motto verse? And everybody was staring at me blankly, even though it's right there on screen, on the, you know, it's right there. So at the beginning of this year, we kicked off the series. The sermon was entitled, Let's Get Going. Let's Get Going. And the focus was on the first part of that verse that says, be joyful in hope. Back in April, we went on to the second part of the verse. The title was called When the Going Gets Tough. Do you remember that one? I know some people are already thinking of Billy Ocean. Stop it. And we focused on that middle bit. It says being patient in affliction. And as such, today's sermon is we keep going, which is about being faithful in prayer. As many of you know, in 2021, going back a few years now, 3 years ago, we had a sermon series titled Whose Will Be Done. It was six-part sermon series, and we looked at the place, the purpose, and the power of prayer. I don't want to, you know, the temptation is, you know, things like prayer, you as a church, you revisit as a topic. It's not something you say once and that's it. It's something you come back to again. You know, you come back to it. I don't want to revisit that six-part sermon series. I think, personally, that is one of the most comprehensive series on prayer that I've ever heard. I think it was really, really wonderful. And we looked at the examples of Jonah, Hannah, David, Jabez, and Jesus in their prayers and you know, sought to draw lessons from what we, you know, what they did, how we can grow in our prayer lives. So if you do want to find out, go deeper in prayer, that's the first port of call, I would say. In a little while, in a few weeks' time, not right now, I think a couple of months max. No, is it September? I don't know. Very soon, we will be advertising Firm Foundations, the Bible class, the six-week Bible course. We'll be advertising that again. And one of the topics that we deal with in Firm Foundations is prayer. So if you do want to find out a little bit more about prayer, I'd say start with the sermon series and make sure to sign up for Firm Foundations. Today's sermon is going to be a little bit simple, a little bit easy. Today, I just want to share some stuff on my heart regarding prayer. And these are things that I think are relevant to how we understand prayer and how we are faithful, how we can be faithful in prayer or persistent. I want to pull that phrase from the drama sketch we had, how we can be persistent in prayer. And I genuinely hope that as through this sermon, through today, through this service, you will see yourself so often. Saints, so too often we make the mistake of coming in, we sit in the service, we're hearing what is being said, and then we're thinking of somebody else. It's always, you know, it's Bob that needs the prayer. It's Angelina that needs this, oh, this is a great sermon for Angelina. Hold on. Before you start WhatsApping Angelina and saying, my pastor preached something for you, what did you get out of it? Other than pointing it to Angelina and Bob. Yeah. So I really pray that you will see yourself in what the Lord is saying. The Bible verse says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And we're particularly discussing what it means to be faithful in prayer. So first of all, I want to look at what is faith. What is faithfulness? To be faithful in prayer, what does it mean to be faithful? And then we'll talk about prayer in a moment. To be faithful is to be reliable. to be steadfast, to be unwavering, to be upright, to be dependable. To be faithful means to be constant, means to be committed in our ways. And faithfulness is rooted, comes from a place of trust, comes from a place of loyalty. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, many of us know, says, now faith is the confidence, it's the substance of things we hope for, the evidence or the assurance of the things that we do not see, the things we have not seen. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. And as a Christian, it's critical that we are faithful to God. How many people here will say you actually believe in God? I want to see a show of hands. If you actually believe in God, okay? Almost everybody put their hands up. Those of you that didn't put your hand up, well, you're in the right place to find out more. No, it's true. Let me tell you now, not everybody that comes to church is on your same level of faith. And that's okay, saints. You weren't born with this level of faith. You developed it somewhere. So those who didn't put your hands up, is either A, you don't believe and you're just curious, you're just showing up, that's okay. You're in a safe place. And you're in the best church in the whole wide world. Or you're on that journey. Because let me say this, the rest of us are also on that journey. How many people here have ever been... No, let me say it this way. How many people here will say that you've always been 100% faithful to God? Let me see a show of hands. Stop trying to put your wife's hand up. And I can see, other than the children who just want to put their hands up, no hands. Every single one of us is on that journey of faithfulness. And now faithfulness is critical. It is one thing for us to believe in God. It's another thing for us to be faithful to God. And faithfulness is an essential part of our faith. Oh, did you see what I did there? Faithfulness is an essential. Should I do it again? Some people didn't get it. So okay. So what is prayer? Prayer is a natural characteristic. You know, there's lots of definitions for prayer. It's a means of communicating with God. But prayer should be a natural byproduct of the Christian life, of the Spirit-led life. If you have a life that is led by the Holy Spirit, prayer should come out of it. Prayer is the breath of the child of God. Just as breathing is a natural response for a human being from birth. Similarly, when you come to faith in Jesus, prayer should be the natural response because you are now born of God. Prayer is really us talking to God, us listening to God, us communicating with God. So it's about talking, listening, communing, actually, not just communicating, communing with God. That fellowship, that me time, that me and you time is part of prayer. Let me tell you what prayer is not. Prayer is not rambling. Let me be clear. Prayer is, sometimes we do, you know, yeah, listen, we're all at different levels, yeah? So I'm not saying everybody must, oh, thou God of Abraham, and, you know, come on, everybody calm down, right? Prayer is you talking. Just open, speak your heart to God. I've been in situations where people have just rambled on. And let me, does everybody understand what rambling is? So like, you know, I was thinking, make a point. So prayer is not rambling. Prayer is not vain repetitions, because sometimes we do that, don't we? Oh God, are you listening? Oh God, hear my prayer. Oh God, hear my prayer. 3. Oh God, hear my prayer. 4. Oh God, hear my... And God's like, oh, your CD is stuck on repeat. I mean, come on, man. Prayer is not the vain repetition. Now, don't get me wrong. And that verse was quoted even in the skit. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous makes power available. I'm not saying don't be fervent. I'm not saying don't be persistent and consistent. I'm saying don't just repeat empty words. And finally, prayer is not something you use to impress people. Has anybody ever heard those kind of prayers? Oh, can you lead us in prayer? And you start quoting those heavy, deep, those deep scriptures from Nahum, you know. Lord, in your word, the prophet Nahum says, and people are thinking, who said? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7, Jesus said, when you pray, don't be like the people who don't know God. This is the easy to read version. He says, they say the same things again and again. They think that if they say it enough times, that's when God will hear them. So let me put it this way. Prayer is communicating with God for the purposes of finding him, seeking him, seeing him, knowing his heart, and doing his will. Aha. Prayer has a purpose in us doing God's will. You know, prayer is the equivalent of putting your ear to God's chest and hearing his heartbeat for you. Because prayer is communication, it's communing. It's not just speaking, it's listening, right? Prayer is actually one of the most overlooked disciplines in the church. One of the most overlooked disciplines in the life of most Christians. I've had many seasons where I've struggled to maintain a rhythm of prayer in my life. Regular, consistent prayer. Many, many seasons where I'm just like, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. But at the same time, prayer is an immense privilege because it yields a great power for us to live as Christians. You know, I've got some sayings for you. Here's the first one. When you bow down to pray, heaven sits up to listen. When you bow down to pray, heaven sits up to listen. You know, some people don't take that approach. You know, some people are a bit casual. We're lackadaisical with our prayers. You know, the truth of it is, and also, let me also say this. Jesus taught us, and we know that faith can move. Let me tell you, prayer can move God. He is unshakable. He is consistent. He's dependable. He's reliable. He's faithful. He is unchangeable. But prayer can move God. People said, somebody asked me once, does God ever change his mind? I'm like, yes. Yes, go ask Hezekiah. Okay. Does God ever change his mind? Yes. Go ask the people of Nineveh. And some of you are thinking, I don't understand those words. Hezekiah was this guy, he was a king, and he got the word. He would say, hey, listen, that's it. You're dead. You're dead. You know? And scripture says the guy was like, what? What? He turned his face to the wall. He didn't call for an entourage. He went himself, turned his face to the wall and cried to God, and God heard his heart, the cry of his heart. And God said, you know what? I changed my mind. I'm going to give you extra time. The people of Nineveh, God said to Jonah, the prophet, go and tell them they're destroyed. They haven't listened to me. It's over for them. We're not here to talk about Jonah because he went left. Dude just went left, you know? Eventually he learned his lesson, yeah? And eventually he got to the place and he says, God says, you know, you guys are going to be destroyed. And then, you know, God was like, yeah, you know what? I've changed my mind. They've turned from their wicked ways. I mean, that's another thing, because Jonah then was like, what? I went all that, you know, yeah. Don't we do that sometimes? We throw a tantrum with God. Yeah, but God, why didn't you do this? I don't understand. When did you become his co-pilot? You know? God can change his mind. Faith moves mountains, but prayer moves God. And for many of us, sadly, the most we pray is when it's time for food. One, there was a time I sat down with a bunch of people and said, and they said, yeah, let's pray for the food. And I'm not kidding. And the guy said, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks be to God for the grub. Amen. I nearly choked. And don't forget, I hadn't even started eating. I was just like, okay. And then I prayed my own prayer in my own heart. I'm like, that ain't blessing my food. And I'm sorry to say this, but the devil enjoys those kinds of prayers. Prayers that don't come from your heart. You're not really speaking your heart to God. You're just chatting. You're just using words. Remember, God hears your heart. If you go into that sermon series, you hear me say, the words coming out of your mouth, that's not your actual prayer. The words coming out of your mouth are a byproduct of your real prayer. The real prayer is in your heart. So all of that stuff that you're trying to impress, all of those big words, or all of that, the real prayer is in your heart. When you're saying those words, where's your heart? Jesus said in the book of James, nope, Jesus didn't say that. James chapter 5, verse 16. I'm going to read it from the Amplified. It says the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous believer can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. Ugh. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much for you, King James people. Prayer is a privilege, but prayer is also powerful, and prayer can change things. Amen? Three things that prayer is supposed to change. Are you ready? What's the first thing? Can anybody guess? What does prayer change? Somebody shout. Exactly. If prayer ain't changing you, your prayer ain't doing jack. You can write that down. It's the truth. And we do this. We have this almost vending machine thing we do with God. You can live whatever life you want. You can speak how you want to other people. You can treat people like dirt. And then you come to God and you want to, you want to fake them front like you're holy. What? That prayer is, God's looking at your heart. God's looking at your heart. Your prayer changes you first. The first thing prayer should change is our character. To be a person of prayer. The second thing it changes is our faith. Is our faith. The third thing prayer changes is our vision. Again, I quote something from the sermon series. I'm trying to plug this sermon series, right? You know, I want to quote something from the sermon series. And this is one of my principles that I've always held to. I've said it many, many times, publicly and privately. You always grow, always, without exception, when you pray. Through prayer, you always grow closer to the one that you pray to. When you pray, you grow closer to God. People say to me, oh, I want to develop my relationship with God. Talk to him. It's like a romantic relationship. It's like your colleagues at work. The colleagues at work you talk to the most are the ones you're closest to, yes? Simple. It's like your friends at school. The ones you're closest to are the ones you talk to the most. Talk to God. You always grow closer to the one you're praying to. You always grow closer to the one you are praying for. And you always grow closer to the one you are praying with. Always. You want to develop your relationship with somebody? Pray with them on a regular basis. Just pray with them on a regular basis. You want to improve? Pray with them. And I mean pray, not just words. Where you open your heart before God, transparent. Pray with them. And let me state the obvious. I mean, I think I hinted it earlier on. Nobody prays enough. I don't pray enough. And our lack of prayer affects how we can meet God and know God. Prayer is one of the key places. One of the ways we know God and meet him is through his word. Another place is through prayer. His word is him speaking to us. Prayer is his word is him opening his heart to us. Prayer is us opening our hearts to him. Sometimes the reason we don't pray is because we know we're doing what we shouldn't do. It's the truth, saints. So how are we to pray? Jesus said, you know, Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 7. Jesus made this statement. It says, when you, in fact, I'll read the rest of it. I'll talk about the rest of it in a moment. He started by saying, when you pray, yeah? In fact, I think I read a little bit of it earlier on. When you pray, do not be like the unbelievers. Just those three words, when you pray. He didn't say if you pray. There's an assumption there that if you're a believer, you have a prayer life. When you pray. I mean, wow, what a powerful thing. When you pray. And sometimes we just go through the motions. So prayer involves us talking. It involves us listening to God. When you pray, not just when you come to God and moan and place your order. Because the prayer is a conversation. It's communing. It's fellowship. There's you doing your bit, that's half of the prayer. The rest of the prayer is when God speaks back. And if we're only talking and we're not listening, we're not hearing, that's not the fullness of prayer. And through prayer, we learn to depend on God. We learn to trust God. Prayerlessness is when we depend on ourselves. We lean on our own understanding. You know, in January, I made a statement. I repeated this statement in April. For those of you who are saying, you know, I want to be better at this, I want to know more of this, etc. I said, the you of tomorrow, is it tomorrow? Let me read it. That's right. The you of tomorrow, that's correct, is depending on the you of today to keep the promises made by the you of yesterday. The you of tomorrow is depending on the you of today to keep the promises made by the you of yesterday. The promises you made yesterday, you must keep them today. Otherwise, your tomorrow is in jeopardy. We're meant to pray from our hearts. Jesus says, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. Don't babble like the unbelievers who think they'd be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them. So prayer isn't about the number of words you're using. It's from the heart. It's not about impressing God. It's not about impressing other people. It's about us being honest before God. In verse 6, he says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen, and then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And there are different ways in which we pray. The prayer of faith, maintaining a posture of expectance. And I think sometimes we don't pray because we get frustrated waiting. I want to touch on this very briefly. I don't know. I said it one time during daily prayers this week, I think, or maybe last week, because it suddenly hit me. And this is something that we do. When God tells us to do something, God asks us to do something. God says, Gareth, I want you to give me your Bentley. Gareth in his heart says, God, wait, man. I'm busy. I've got things I'm doing. Why? I need my Bentley for this. I need my Bentley for that. I'm going to drive around. Is he your dad? I'm going to drive my daughter around in the Bentley, you know, show the car off to all her school friends. And we tell God to wait. Whether we verbally tell God to wait or we tell God to wait in our attitude, we tell God to wait. God tells you do something and you don't do it. You are telling God, wait. Okay. And then we pray and God is silent and we give him attitude. What kind of God is this? Do you know how long I've been praying for this God? And then we give him attitude. Guys, I mean, obviously we don't do that, do we? It's that them lot, right? It's the other people in the other place. And it's really important that we check our hearts, because sometimes we get frustrated in the place of prayer because God tells us wait. God tells us not yet. How many people here have children? Quick show of hands. Quick show of hands, quick show of hands, quick show of hands. Very good. Thank you very much. How many times have you had to say no to your child? Uncountable, somebody said. What is your name? Pardon? Layla. How old are you, Layla? 11. Oh, you're old. When Layla was 4, I'm sure she would have happily had ice cream for breakfast. How many people here give their children ice cream for breakfast? Children, young children, would you like ice cream for breakfast? If you'd like ice cream for breakfast, I want you to shout yes.
Yes.
Just so the people at home can know that, you know. Okay, parents, how many parents here are going to give their children ice cream for breakfast? If that's you, shout yes.
No.
And yet the child is thinking, but I want ice cream for breakfast. Why won't you just give me some ice cream? Why are you telling me to wait for ice cream on Saturday afternoon after I've finished all my vegetables? How would you know? I'm being heckled by the children. How would you know when's the best time for me to have ice cream? How would you know, Mom? How would you know, Dad? But I want it now. And there's ice cream in the freezer. I can see it. How many times has a child said to the parent, but they've had some, I want some. But you've had some, I want some. How many times? The other day I was eating some, I'm Nigerian, Nigerian heritage. I was eating pepper soup. How many people ever had pepper soup, Nigerian pepper soup? That stuff will put hair on your tongue, I'm telling you. You will know spice. If you don't know Jesus, that's the day you find out. And I'm having pepper soup and it smells delicious and the children come in and little Tommy like this, what's that? And Tommy's like, is it spicy? And I'm like, yeah, can I have some? I'm like, no. Social services will take you away. Are you dad? But I, no, what? No, son. And then he says, but you're having some. Isn't that what we do with God sometimes? But God, I can see it there. Lord, why can't I have it, Lord? Prayer is supposed to change you. It moves God, but it's supposed to change you. Sometimes the reason our prayers, the reason for unanswered prayers are A, we didn't pray. B, we didn't pray the right way. C, we had the wrong motives. D, our prayers were flippant. They weren't fervent. Sometimes we pray and it's rooted in doubt. Sometimes we pray and God says what to do, but we don't submit to what to do. We hear from God, but we don't submit to what to do. You know, the Olympics have started in earnest. Remember I said prayer is communicating with God for the purpose of knowing him, for the purpose of seeking his will, for the purpose of doing his will. The Olympics have started, and if you, those of you who watched the opening ceremony, I watched some of it. It was really, some of it was really spectacular. The Bible gateway verse for today is Philippians 3:14, and those of you who join daily prayer, you'll know that's what I use to pray. Philippians 3:14 says, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. It's a great verse. And the truth of it is when you read that verse, you recognize that making it to the finish line is dependent on your sustainability, your ability to endure, your ability to endure, your ability to, your tenacity, that's the word I was looking for, and your ability to endure. And your ability to endure as a Christian is based on your prayer life. And your prayer life is based on your faith. Jesus' very last act of worship in the garden before the crucifixion, before he got to the cross, his last act of worship was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And those of you who know the story, you'll remember. What was it? It was prayer. His very last act was prayer. He knew what was coming. I mean, his friends were having a nap. They even had another nap after he woke them up. But it was prayer. Saints, it is prayer that carried him from the earth to the cross, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. It was prayer that carried him through that. And your faithfulness in the place of prayer is what will sustain you through whatever it is you may be going through, so that you too will finish and finish your race and finish it well. Amen.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.